I could barely read that thing. Yeah, I need a bigger teleprompter. Good evening, Morro Bay. This is the Wednesday, March 15th meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board. We have four members present, which does give us a quorum, and missing today is John Irwin and Jan Goldman. In any case, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order and have a moment of silence. Okay, if we could stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Again, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And bear with me, I'm the vice chair, so I don't do this very often. I'm going to go ahead. Is there any announcements from anybody on the board?
I was just going to have Rob give a little description today. There on the Facebook page, see his Facebook page, there was an example of some of the paving. I was going to have Rob clear up some of that.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Parker. It wasn't probably the best example of work done by microsurfacing. The contractor went over the concrete area on, I think it was Bali Street is the example that was posted. So they're over the gutter. They'll have to clean that work out. The idea was to hold off from the gutter a little bit because this is really the first leveling course. This is to take out some of the major dips before we go over it with the final coating of chip seal. So leveling course first, which is usually a little bit rough. Some people might be analogous to a scratch coat on a stucco job, and then we'll go over it with the final chip seal 3 days after cure time.
Thank you. So yeah, just to point out that's not the final coat. It'll be getting a second coat over the top of all those surfaces.
Correct.
Thank you.
But they still, we will need to clean up where they've gone a little bit wide and gone over the gutter area.
Thank you, Chris and Rob. Does anybody else have any other?
Let's see. Last week I attended a meeting that was presented by the Senior Center. It was a speaker. It was Mike DeMilo of Integrated Waste Management, and he did a very good presentation on trash and recycling, and I believe that's, we need a lot more of that in Morro Bay, more educational programs on just what's involved in trash and recycling. And also this morning, I attended a gathering with that the Morro Bay Open Space Alliance put together a tour of the Chevron property. So Morro Bay Open Space, as well as representatives from Chevron, took several people up behind the town. So it was very interesting. It's a lot of things that will be coming forward in the next few months and few years. That's it.
Thank you. John or Stu, do you have any announcements? Okay. And it appears there's no presentations. Is there any announcements from staff at all, Rob?
No. I'll make some clarifications probably when we get to the director's report, too.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you very much. I'm going to go ahead and move to the election of officers. In reading the minutes, I guess it got continued to this meeting. I spoke a little bit beforehand, and I'd like to nominate Rick Deschler as the chair for the Public Works Advisory Board.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, it appears unanimous. Okay, so do you want to take over now or do you want to do it at the end of the meeting? Oh, okay. And as far as vice chair?
I nominate Stephen Shively as vice chair.
I'll second that also.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Now we're moving into the public comment period, and this is for items that are not on the agenda tonight that you wish to speak to. And what we ask is that when you come forward, you give your name and your city of residence for the record.
Good afternoon, dear Public Works. My name is Rick Moore, and I'm a citizen of Morro Bay. A resident of Morro Bay, sorry. I assume Public Works means taking care of public areas. We talk a lot about beautification, open areas, aesthetically pleasing areas, etc. So I wonder if you can possibly consider moving all the trash containers that has been suddenly and sneakingly showed up in our public parking lot below the Surf Street bluff here by 1196 Front Street. They are not for the public's use, but for private business owner who does not have a convenient place at their business site for their garbage. Two containers under the eucalyptus tree next to Lola and Franklin's restaurant, and four and five containers hidden behind a newly installed green plastic-looking fencing, blocking several beautiful eucalyptus trees over by the corner into the triangular lot. The reason I'm especially annoyed by this has to do with my own bias. In the summer, when we have hot, balmy days, I take my plastic chair and cold drink and sit in the shade and gentle breeze under those three, four eucalyptus trees there. Even if I did not, why ruin a naturally pleasing area? Could the containers go behind the trees and behind the chair link fence in that corner of the triangular lot where no one parks anyway, and out of sight from the Marine Museum and the Embarcadero? And please tell the owners to keep the lids closed for stink and flies on days with no breeze. I think it is one thing that the city wants to help the businesses, but not at everyone else's expense. Hope you all had the pleasure with all the kids and tourists and residents with clicking cameras this weekend, when a bunch of otters and their babies congregated in the bay by the Embarcadero south of Gafco. It was nature at its best. I know the garbage cans will not be moved, but I do want you all to keep in mind that what we have naturally cannot be replaced if ruined, and also please do not cover it up with ugly plastic fences. Thank you.
Thank you. I've got a quick question to ask. I'm not familiar with what you're bringing up here tonight. Rob, are you familiar at all with where she's talking about? Or?
Yes. So there's a trash enclosure near the lift station at the Front Street parking lot, just south of the what's called the triangular parking lot, kind of the dirt overflow parking lot. One's been there for a couple of years. That has a license agreement negotiated with the city that went to council probably two or three years ago. It's for Gafco and Harbor Huts trash.
Oh.
And the Bayfront Inn, Frankie and Lola's, as that dumpster has been under that eucalyptus tree for as long as I can remember. We are formalizing that with a license agreement. In fact, that license agreement went to council last two meetings ago, and council approved that license agreement for them to move from under the eucalyptus tree to nearer where Gaffco Harbor Hut trash are located, and to build a trash enclosure for those also.
Oh, okay. So basically, the city council has already gone through this and given approval for these locations?
Yes. They have been approved by city council. That's, I think, the agreements are terminable. They're not forever. Right. So.
But since they've already taken action on it, I feel a little like it's probably beyond the purview of this board to bring this up at a future time.
We basically work at the pleasure of council and
well, that's what I was driving at, since it's already been brought up to the level of city council and approval has been given.
But if there is an issue that this board wishes to address, they could agendize it. While it's not on our work plan, the board could still discuss it.
Sure.
Send a memo to council on your concerns.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Can I come back?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
It's a light evening.
I know. Yeah, there was kind of a garbage cans there before, but they weren't right in front of those beautiful trees. But anyway, I understand it's not going to be removed. My issue was basically, whatever you do and whenever you think of something, you are the public works, think of what is here that can not be replaced, or eucalyptus trees, or what we got out in the bay swimming around. Don't put up fences, or I don't know, it scares me sometimes what, you know, I come from a country where we had lots of beauty, and money sometimes took over these very small little cities, and then suddenly, oh, now you got to have a fence because a kid can fall over. I mean, it's like it goes and goes. So that was my main thing. Be aware of what we have. I know you're all guys up there. Guys don't think of beauty. It's, where can I park my car? Where is, you know, my oil cans? I want to scrape my boat. Where's the garbage? You don't have it in you, but maybe some of you do. I don't know, but I just want you guys to think of that. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Did you have something to add,
Rob? I just wanted to ask Rob if those were open-ended leases or agreements, or is there a set number of years?
I think he said they're terminable, as I heard.
I don't think there's a term on the agreement. Janine has more detail.
The agreement is a one-year term that is renewable annually, and in the case of this one, the Public Works Director would be the one to be able to give that approval. For the other two, for Gaffco and Harbor Hut, those were executed through the Harbor Department, so the Harbor Department Director would have that approval. The agreement also does, so it's basically, it can be terminated either at the end of the agreement or during the agreement, either by either party for any reason. So should the council someday take this up as a discussion item and direct that a new location be found, then those agreements could get terminated for doing that or modified.
Okay, so it can be worked with the public and with the various departments involved.
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Does anybody feel the need to have this agendized somewhere in the future? Okay.
And I could add a little bit more to that. On the Gaffco one, I believe the issue, how it all started, their lease site actually goes out into the parking lot.
Well, so their trash, I assume, was, it's on private. I mean,
well, no, not into
the
that
property there.
But their rent. Trash originally was where the boardwalk came in.
Oh,
and so when that all got moved, they needed somewhere to locate it.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you, Chris. Anybody else? Is there any other public comment tonight? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and move on to item A, which is the consent calendar. And as the consent calendar, it gets approved by voice vote unless somebody wishes to pull anything on it. I was not at the last meeting, so I'm going to probably recuse myself a little bit on what occurred at the last meeting. Otherwise, I'd like to hear a motion for the minutes as stated.
I move that we approve the minutes of February 15th as presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Moving right along, we're on to the business items. And the first one is the director's report. And so, Rob, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, or Mr. Vice Chair. As you can see tonight, we have several of our managers, I think almost all of our managers, that are responsible for various areas. So you'll see these folks on a regular basis, at least for the director's report item. So,
Can I ask if you might want to introduce them at
sure.
this point? Because I know Rick, but I'm not sure of everyone else. I think it's
so sitting to my left, here is Janine Burlingame. Administrative analyst for the city that is responsible for our the runnings of the front office and then also transit and then our garbage franchise. Starting towards the center of the audience section, is Damaris Hansen. She's our environmental programs manager. Next to her is Rick Miller. He's our new utility. Rick.
Joe
Miller.
Yeah, Mueller. Is it Mueller?
It's Miller.
Miller.
Oh, it is Miller. Oh, okay.
I got half of it right. Joe.
I was confused. In any case.
Me too. Joe Miller, who's our utilities division manager.
Can I ask, did he take over Bruce's
job? Kind of.
Oh, okay. Is Bruce still with the city?
No, he retired.
Oh, okay.
So Joe took on Bruce's plus the water side. So,
oh, okay. So both
all
sides.
The wet utilities report to Joe. And then not Joe Sauerwein, but Rick Sauerwein is our capital projects and engineering division manager.
Okay, thank you.
And missing from the group, who you'll see occasionally, is Mike Wilcox, our maintenance superintendent.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
We talked a little bit about the city's paving project at the beginning of the meeting, talking about the Facebook post and the corrective action that will occur with the and finishing up that it is the leveling course, as I mentioned, and will follow on with the final coat. All the work being done right now is leveling courses for this microsurfacing. No. So all of it has to be covered with chip seal. On the city's website under Hot Topics, if you go there, there'll be a pavement preservation item, which has the announcement of the work that just started underway, and then also schedules for the various weeks of the work that is going to take place. So week one, March 13th through the 17th, there's Tuesday through Friday. And so that schedule is up there. Week two, the 20th through the 24th is up there. And so that gives us the 27th through the 31st is up there. The final week will be striping will occur during that week and any completion work that needs to get done at this point in time. Oh, sorry. News flash, not Hot Topics. I'm not sure what the difference between those two headings are other than the name. And Rick's going to give us a little bit more information right now.
Yeah, I want to unfortunately give you another news flash. As you all know, it's been a very unusual year for weather. And we've been watching weather really closely. When we started this schedule, we had about 2.5 week window that was looking really solid. And starting about 6 days ago, that window started closing up. It looks like the front is starting to collapse. And the latest weather report is calling for almost 2 inches of rain next week. So. We just finished a discussion with our contractors. We haven't made any commitments to change yet. They know how anxious we are to move the program forward, but at the same point in time, we want to make sure we do a good job. And so we're going to be watching that weather very closely. We're going to have another conversation with our rubber chip seal contract subcontractor, who is planned to come up next week and start on Monday. We'd still like him to come up Monday because it looks like it may be a one solid day worth of work, and we'd like to get the streets covered up that have the microfibers in them, so that those are coated. We don't know how receptive that is. Can I ask real quick, Rick?
And I'm not that familiar with microsurfacing. You're putting in a leveling course, and that's the one that has the fibers in it, it sounds like.
That's correct.
If you get caught in between that and the chip seal, because once the chip seal's down, I think you're safe. I mean,
that's correct, and that's why we're really anxious.
Can it hurt the leveling course, I guess, would be my big question, if you get caught in between?
The bigger concern is that the fibers would become exposed in the worst case. And so that's why we're trying to even get that one day's worth of solid work in to cover that fiber. Then if we needed to lay off for a week or 2 weeks because there are other schedule ramifications, then we'd be much more comfortable with that. So all that to say, we're not giving up. We're hopeful of continuing, but we're also adapting to whatever weather is dealt us. So there you have it.
Thank you, Rick. Okay, are you should I turn it over to questions?
Sure, I open up for any questions on any other items it might have.
Okay, I'll start with you, John. Do you have any on the director's report?
No, I didn't quite hear everything you said, but no, I don't think there was anything I was expecting.
Oh, okay.
There was. You were going to tell me about, you were going to contact the city of Grover to figure out how they had funded their street improvement or street reconstruction program.
City of Grover funded theirs through a bond measure assessment, so they I think 40-something million dollars in bonds they are will be selling over the next 20 years or so. One issue that they face is it only included surfacing. It didn't include any perimeter improvement, edge improvements, or storm drainage. So they'll have to fund that out of their general fund.
Rick, do you have anything?
Just one more question on streets. Was there any attempt or any need to try to coordinate the garbage route days with the paving days? I noticed out in our area it was sort of an overlap as they were starting this morning.
The way we've worked out the garbage is that if everybody follows their normal practice that they're instructed from day one to take your trash out the night before, then we've coordinated with the garbage crews so that they know what the schedule is for that day, and they try to pick those cans up first before the paving starts. And so then the paving crew comes in, and before they start the microsurfacing, they just move the cans back into the driveway and go about their work. That's worked really well in all but a handful of instances. I think there were some recycle bins that got missed yesterday. And in that unlikely event, then all that a person needs to do is call the trash company. They will come out and they'll make an additional pickup at no charge because they know that there was interference with the street work.
And I'd like to add to that, they did inquire from the city, and we did give them permission to start earlier than the 7 a.m. Muni code start time so that they were able to get in and out in time for the paving crews to start at their normal time.
Okay.
And one more question.
Sure.
I've seen the barricades that have the dates posted on when the streets, mm-hmm. those sections of the streets. Are there notices to individual households as to, like, when they can drive on the streets, you know, how long that they have to park someplace else because they can't get in or out of their
driveways? Along with the barricades, every house gets a door hanger.
They do?
Okay. Yes.
I'm not in one of the areas that had barricades, so I didn't know what the process was.
Right.
Thank you.
And the dry time varies depending upon the weather conditions. A nice sunny day is really very helpful. But we're trying to get traffic returned within about 4 hours in most cases.
Go ahead, John.
I just, as I was going for my walk today, a resident asked me, she lives on Fir, and she saw the sign which says she's going to have to park somewhere else for a couple of days. Is it okay if she, has there been any discussions with Spencer about Spencer's, if people in the neighborhood are looking for a place to park a car, if they?
No, we haven't had any discussion with them at all. There should be more than enough sufficient on-street parking available.
Some of these places, maybe, but if yeah. it's a long block she lives on, and she's right in the middle, so she's just trying to figure out where she can park.
Thank you, John. Stuart, do you have anything?
Other than the concern that we are going to get the resurfacing done in a reasonable length of time and get it done right, I know I walked the streets. I had three or four residents call me this afternoon and say, there's a mess out here, and come and look at it, and there were some places missed and so on. And Mr. Livick informed me that that was just the first run through and that they're going to come back and go over it and so on. One of the issues was that the distance from where they stopped with their slurry over to the edge, some of it is 2 or 3 feet and some of it is very close to it. There was also one resident that made a comment about he got some tar up on his decorative rock in his driveway and so on. And I said, well, you can probably get that off with a little kerosene, Dale. And so that's the issue. We're facing a weather issue, it looks like, coming up pretty soon.
That's
going to put the brakes on them doing that, isn't it?
Well, if the weather forecast that we have right now holds, yes, it will. And that's what we're trying to plan for right now.
I know on Coa and San Juan, just above me, the water always runs there. It comes out of a spring in the hill above it, and it comes around the corner and comes down that. And
we got the leveling course on San Juan this afternoon.
Yeah, and that's still going to not stop the material from sticking in there and getting the job done, I would imagine. Is that true?
You're talking about the continued
seepage
of the water?
Yeah.
What we did today was plug that drain.
Ah.
Because even though it was dry in the morning, as soon as we laid the leveling course, it started draining again. So.
Good. That's why the water was running down over there.
Yeah.
Chip and seal or whatever that was. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So we corrected that.
Thanks.
You bet.
Hey, Chris, do you have anything? No, it's the entire director's report.
Rob, I was going to ask about the fire pits that got installed. I've noticed a few comments about those somewhat getting turned into trash cans. Have you had any input on that from any or heard any comments?
I know there was some concern that they would be used as trash cans. I'm confident that there will be trash in them occasionally. And our crews will have to take care of that. I think there's only, I haven't been out there today, but I think there's only one fire pit installed. We also had questions, when are the other three going out there? Because we don't want to have to wait in line for our turn for the fire pit. And then we've also had concern about air quality. I think if folks follow the rules, burning dry wood or commercial charcoal and commercial logs, that will minimize that smoking effect. But you start to burn green or wet wood in there, it can be an issue. So I think
or trash,
yeah, plastic. I'm sorry, plastic or other trash items. There's no place for the burning of that there. Also,
are you going to put up an information sign?
There is information signs out there, and signs are also on the backs of each of the benches too out there.
I haven't seen the fire pit. Is it like a can, or is it more like a fire ring?
Like a manhole ring. In fact, Mid-State Contract sells them as fire rings.
But yeah, they're the raised rings on them.
They look to me like a manhole ring with the groove grouted.
Okay. 2 or 4 foot.
It's called Mid-State Concrete.
we filled in about 2 feet of the bottom of them with base, and then put a concrete bottom in them because our code requires that a fire can only be on a concrete surface for some unknown reason.
Do you have anything? Well, I'm going to jump to the
Can I just jump in? And
sure.
I wanted to highlight one thing in that spring cleanup week is coming around few weeks. And so I just wanted to get it out there for members of the public who are listening that that'll be held the week of April 10th to the 14th. You put your up to 2 cubic yards of waste out, and the garbage company will come along and collect that for free. If you have information, you can contact the garbage company, or you can look on the city's website. You go to our morrowbay-ca.us/spring-cleanup, and that will take you to information, a little bit more information. There's also a discount for bulky item collection. You need to have that arranged with the garbage company a week before your collection date. But I did want to mention that as getting that information out there to the public. The cleanup week follows the yard sale, the citywide yard sale weekend. So if you don't sell your stuff in your yard sale, you can put it out at the curb.
Thank you, Janine. I was actually going to bring it up just as for public consumption, and also on the wastewater, the new WRF. This is more for public consumption of where it stands. I sit on that board also. And that's the simple fact that we're moving towards the RFPs, the request for proposals for both the lift station, the offsite, pressure line and the line, effluent line, bringing it back. And in case the citizens of Morro Bay don't realize, at this point in time, it's going to happen down South Bay Boulevard, back behind Casa de Flores, and that's where they're planning to put the plant at this point. And I just wanted to throw that out there because I know it goes around a lot, and I've been intimately involved, but I'm always surprised when people are unaware of exactly where or how or what's going on exactly. This is moving along, and this is something you're going to see in the short-term order. And in our report here, it gives out all the way through May 2021, and that's about how long you were going to be dealing with this issue. But I did want to throw it out there just so people realize it's no longer in the Morro Valley. It's out in the South Bay Boulevard area, I'll call it east of the highway. In either case, and this is a question actually, so I'll put Joe on the spot for a minute. In reading the wastewater treatment, I read there's 1.475 million gallons were treated last month, and that seemed high, and I assume it's for infiltration because of all the rains. And I guess, do we have any way of knowing exactly how much is raw sewage and how much of this is actually infiltration? Or is there any way to even gauge or measure that?
Well, we can look at what our typical dry weather flows are.
Oh, okay. So
that's
basic. And isn't it usually around a million or down?
Yeah, it's right around 800,000.
Oh, 800,000. Yeah. So we are getting a bit in infiltration at this point in time. But I assume it's only at the times of wet weather, and this
Correct.
Has been an extremely wet. Thank you.
That is.
Other than that, I have nothing else. Does anybody have anything else to add before we finish on the director's report?
Yeah, I was curious. After we've had like a 2-inch rain, and I know my house, the ground weeps for about a week afterwards. Is that the period of time that there's an increased flow into the sewers?
That is correct.
Probably longer.
Yeah, it's quite a bit. And with the ground saturated as it is today, yeah. You know, we see the inflow pick up relatively quick within a matter of hours. Okay.
I got a quick question to Rob. I assume it come more from him. At the time that the new treatment plant goes in, is there going to be any looking at the manholes and somehow maybe lining them or something to try and cut down on the infill? I assume it's more in the manholes than it is physically in the line. I could be wrong. I'm not sure what
most I think we have a fair amount of both. We have a videoing program where we're looking at our sewer lines on a regular basis. Programming those repairs. We have a master planning process that'll be kicking off this year too, basically the One Water Plan, which is a combined resource document for water system master plan, sewer system master plan, stormwater master plan. One of the first work items that we're going to have group look at is INI reduction, because it not only influences the sizing of the EQ basins at the treatment plant, but it'll influence the sizing mainly of the pumping capabilities at the major new lift station.
Well, I could so see it also with the RO side, where you're treating a lot more. Generally speaking, now we dump it to the ocean, and so it's kind of no harm, no foul when you do have a bit of infiltration, but when you're looking to try and treat every gallon that goes through that plant through a system that uses power and everything.
Yeah, so we'll want to make a cost-effective decision, you know, whether to try to eliminate. A goal is to eliminate all the INI. I don't think it can ever actually happen because the ground is moving all the time, right. And cracks happen. These are man-made products, so it's a constant work effort to maintain that system. So I don't think we can ever eliminate it 100%, but we're talking a peaking factor for peak hour or wet weather of 6 or more.
Wow.
So that's 6 times more than our average daily flows that we have to be able to convey from the existing plant site up to the new plant site and be able to treat that or provide some storage in the system to run it through the treatment. So that's why I said EQ, I meant equalization tanks to buffer that inflow.
So you don't have to oversize the pumps.
So we don't have to oversize. Yes. Okay. But I think a good hard look at that inflow and infiltration as soon as possible before we get too far down the road with design and get those facilities right-sized so we're not over-pumping water that we don't need to pump.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I assume most of this town is clay pipe. Is that correct? For the sewer system?
We have a lot of clay pipe. We have some transite. We have some plastic.
I have less concern with the plastic than the clay pipes. That's why I'm asking. Okay.
A couple more questions popped up then. How often do you go out and repair a manhole or repair a line? Is it do it with a contract once a year, or does the crew go out and fix things?
We've done a combination of both our crews doing manhole rehabilitations, usually the at the gradering level. If it's a coating process, we'll contract that out. We'll put together several sections of line and manholes that would be rehabbed in any given year. So we'll issue a contract for that. Our crews can repair fairly shallow sewer lines. We just don't have all the deep shoring equipment to get very deep. And if it were a long section of pipe that we're repairing, it would take our crews away from kind of their regular cleaning duties. They would love to do it, but it may be more time effective and cost effective to hire a contractor to do larger sections. And then when we're doing lining, of course, it's contractor work. We don't have equipment or staff to do lining.
Another question which popped up was, what's your average peaking factor for dry weather?
For dry weather?
Yeah.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but Joe might have it right now.
Well, on a holiday weekend, it's typically about 3 to 3.5.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's double the flow. And then the other question that comes in, do you know which lines are most affected by this excessive peaking?
I know that the trunk lines are most susceptible, so the Main Street trunk line is near capacity, or was near capacity the last sewer master plan update, which was 2005. We've seen some reduction in flows due to water conservation, so that's one of the reasons we're redoing this sewer system master plan, is to get not only the condition assessed, but also the capacity assessed.
I guess the other question I was, you know, the trunk line, I assume, is fairly, you know, except for the lines coming in. It's the lines coming in. Do you know, have an idea which lines are providing most of the problems, or is it just everything's kind of in sad shape?
I would say that there's a wide distribution of defects throughout the system. I don't think there's any one line that has necessarily more defects than the rest. North Morro Bay is probably more susceptible than the southern part of the city, only because of the underlying soil condition. The southern part of the city is more silty sand, subgrade material. The northern part of the city is clay, more susceptible to expansive soil conditions. So that wetting, drying cycle tends to move things around, and rigid pipe doesn't react well when it gets moved up and down side to side. So the north is probably worse off than the south end of town.
And I guess the other question then, when you lined, about how many feet of sewer have you lined over the, say, last, well, let's say, do you have any idea where, you know, once you line a sewer, it should be pretty well fixed for infiltration, is that right?
Yes. Yes. And I don't have those numbers with me right now. So we can, you know, get work with Joe and I, and we'll get you that information.
Okay. I'm just curious what the scope, how big of a problem is,
okay,
was it going to be?
And I was going to say the main reason I brought it up is looking forward. Like I said, the infiltration is not a real problem when you're dumping it to the Pacific Ocean, but when you start running it through an RO system or other kind of filtration systems, the costs will rise. And it sounds like it's part of the plan, as you brought up, Rob, to look at the INI on this once we get into a whole new treatment facility and where we're going with it. And that's the main point of where I was trying to go with the question.
Yeah, we'll take a look at INI before we get into the final design for the treatment facility, so that we get a handle on that and a strategy for any quick repairs that can be made to significantly reduce that. Right. We'll have to compare costs, you know, capital costs versus maintenance costs of INI repairs.
Okay.
Okay. Would there be a contingency in the wastewater facility plan for INI, addressing INI?
So right now it's designed to, based on the peak flows that we're seeing right now, so it is addressing a peaking factor of about 6 in the design, in the preliminary design that we've seen forward. So yes, there is a an INI component in the design.
But there isn't actually to address the INI, improving the situation, that's not part of the project then?
No, it would be part of a separate project through the One Water Master Planning effort.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When would we have to, in order to gain savings on sizing things, when would we have to implement that INI project?
So we're looking to probably go to design, build some RFP sometime after the EIR is certified in December of this year. Probably have a couple years of construction. I would say that we have probably 2 years of time to make reductions in that INI. One of the strategies that we may use on the design build is to assume some reductions in flows and have a alternative bid item for additional EQ. So we'll have a cost for it, but we may not build that additional EQ if we achieve INI reduction.
Thank you.
Okay. If there's nothing else, we'll go ahead. There's no action needed on this particular item. Moving on to B2, and we get to hear from Janine, and that's the Short Range Transit Plan RFP Review Committee. I'll turn it over to you, Janine.
Thank you. This will be a very short presentation. We have our Short Range Transit Plan. It's a 5-year plan that needs to be updated, and we're putting the finishing touches on the RFP that is going to go out next Monday, seeking a consultant to do the all the work related to updating the plan. So it's a combination of looking at our existing conditions, evaluating our operational, our financial over a few year period, having some public outreach with the community on areas for improvement, suggestions for additional services or changes to services, interviews with stakeholders, which would be a combination of various advisory boards, councils, Chamber of Commerce, senior groups, those with a vested interest in the public transit that occurs in Morro Bay, developing a capital and financial plan, and then putting the whole thing together into the 5-year plan that would then come to this board for review and comment, as well as coming to the City Council for final adoption. So what we're looking for is one of the board members to volunteer, or you could be appointed by your other fellow members, however you decide.
I try not to do that.
We're basically looking for one member to participate in the RFP review committee.
Okay.
And so once the RFP is actually out on the street, I would forward a copy of that to the individual that gets selected, so you would have a chance ahead of time to see what the scope of work.
When is the time frame for this RFP? I might have missed. Oh, it's down. I'm sorry. It is down there on the.
Yeah. So okay. The RFP would be issued on March 20th. Proposals would be due on April 17th. So about 4 weeks later. Interviews are as needed. If there were some candidates that the selection committee felt we wanted to get some additional information about the proposal or clarifications, we could hold interviews, and that would be the week of May 1st. The proposal evaluation and finalizing the staff recommendation would occur May 5th, and that would be around shortly thereafter would be the staff report would be prepared for City Council and Council award on May 23rd.
Oh, okay.
And then work for the actual plan and all the pre-activities and whatnot would be starting around mid-June.
Okay. Well, I'm going to open it up to the board. Is anybody here interested in taking on reviewing the RFPs? I saw Rick was generous enough to take over the chair. I saw Chris last month take over another one of these. Didn't you get appointed to something at the last meeting?
Yeah, we just had a couple meetings this week, but actually that first week of May, I'm going to be tied up with the car show, so that's not going to...
Unfortunately for me, this is falling in the same time frame as I'm doing the RFP for the lift station and the off-site piping for the WRF, so I'm looking at Stuart and John. Do either of you want to take this on?
I'm okay for doing it.
Oh, okay.
I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
I need to get noticed and, you know, the rest of it.
Yeah, if you've never sat on one of these RFPs, and I've done quite a few of them, it's actually a very interesting process. Yeah. You get an opportunity, and it doesn't require any technical expertise. They're just looking for rational people to take a look at it, and I hear you're willing to want to do it, Stuart? Okay.
Don't bring my computer.
Okay, well, I'm going to put it out to somebody. Want to make a motion for Stuart?
I'll make a motion for Stu to sit on the RFP committee.
I will second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That was unanimous. And so you're all set, Janine. There.
Thank you. And Stuart, I will give you a copy of the RFP once it's finalized and issued, and then certainly give schedules and notification when proposals have been submitted and when we're ready to start working.
Okay. Thank you, Stuart. Okay, I think we can move on to item B3, and that's the Public Works Advisory Board work plan. And I wanted to make sure, did they finalize a date when we meet with City Council on this?
Not yet. I haven't heard from the entire committee yet on availability.
Has everybody seen the email that came out? Oh, okay.
Stuart and Rick.
Yeah, the meeting.
So the meeting, I guess since we're all here and this is an open session, we can, the meeting tentatively, two dates, April 11th or April 25th.
Right.
If you have time constraints for either one of those dates, let me know.
I'm good for either one.
Okay.
Yeah. I understand.
And it's from 3 to 6 is the time frame, and they throw the... They'll throw the PWAB somewhere in that mix because they're meeting with every
group. Yeah, once we get a agenda from the clerk's office, have a better idea for knowing where you are in that time frame, so you may or may not need to sit down here for the full...
Yes, and if you're the fourth group, you might be an hour later than the schedule. It sometimes it runs longer than it runs shorter, but...
Typically, yes, it'll run longer.
Be sure and let him know so we can get together. It's going to be a joint meeting. Most of you have been on it. I don't think you have yet, John. Rick, maybe. I'm not. No, I don't think you sat through it.
Yeah, so it's a joint meeting with City Council to go over the work plan from each of the advisory boards.
Right.
So we have two nights that this will happen on, the 11th and the 25th. They'll divide up the boards with those two nights, and based on board member availability, and council will discuss work plan efforts for this coming fiscal year.
Okay.
So look at your calendars. And
which one of those is our PWAB meeting next week? Is that
This is a joint meeting between us and City Council, okay. So it's a special.
So it's a whole
meeting.
Different week than all those weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I have a preference, I'd like to be on the same night that CFAC is Citizens Finance Committee is meeting.
Okay, I'll relay that to the clerk, so you don't have to.
Oh, I thought they shoved them all into the same date, though, don't they?
Last year they did divided them up into two dates. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't remember that. What was it? Yeah. In either case, I'll go ahead and let you present the staff report on it, Robert, of the actual work item.
Sure, sure.
I didn't mean to sidetrack.
No, that's okay. I'm glad you did. Like I said, just send me an email, or if you know right now, like Rick did, either date is fine. Just let me know, and I'll let our clerk know so she can get these scheduled. This is the third time that we're looking at this item. This time I was a little bit more specific with items rather than throwing the open blank sheet of paper out there to the committee. So what I did was I picked out goal-related items from the city's goals and objectives that I thought that
were pertinent to the Public Works Advisory Board to review. And then I added really more routine items that are not typically goals or objectives, but are still things that are of interest. For example, the annual street summit, to continue to hold that. To review on an annual basis the level of maintenance of city facilities. Review our capital improvement program, and look at the annual water report and report out on conservation levels and allocation on future water availability, in addition to the goal items, which would be, input into the rate setting process for the new WRF, being engaged with the city's One Water planning effort in water supply options, to look at parking management plans in the goal to look at alternative parking in the downtown and perhaps the option of a couple parking structures, to provide input in the general plan LCP rewrite process as related to public works issues such as traffic, water and wastewater, and the water and wastewater will actually come through the One Water process, and then to provide input into the code enforcement outreach process on existing codes related to issues within the public rights of way. So that those would be like parking issues where 72 hours large vehicles parked on the street or extending into the street, sight distance issues with tall hedges. Those have been some of the major code enforcement concerns as related to public works. So those are my suggestions for a work plan. Would be happy to add anything to these items. This is basically what will be forwarded on to council that would form the basis of your discussion with them for the joint meeting. Mm. That concludes my presentation.
Okay, first of all, he read through the goal-related work plan items. Does anybody have any questions regarding that as to the efficacy or anything else? I'm familiar with several of them. Or does anybody have ones they wish to see him add as part of that list? I'll start down at Stu's end this time.
Turn my light back on. Of course, the rock is a definite point of interest from just about anybody that comes in town and looking at the rock and so on. I would like to see a discussion or something moving forward on what we're going to do with the parking down there. I know every year it gets torn up and then it gets graded off and then we put something down that seems to go away through the winter and so on, and perhaps we can address that some way. Perhaps charging for parking when you're parked on the edge down there or something. There's got to be a way to do that and get parking down there. And I think we also need to address whether the gate that goes around to the side of the rock to the south side, is that going to remain closed as it is now? And if so, then we need to provide parking for that area and so on, which is a subject for discussion. So okay. That's what I have there.
Oh. I must admit, I think we did bring this up once before about a year and a half ago, didn't we, Stuart? And I was trying to remember, there was rationale as to why they couldn't pave that area around the rock. Wasn't there, Rob?
It's come up before. It's about 7 acres of open area. It'd be a very expensive paving project. To pave the entire thing.
Right.
There's been initiatives brought forward to council over the years about paving portions of it and improving portions of it that haven't moved forward, I know. I think mainly due to funding and other priorities. Mm-hmm. But if it's the board's desire, we could put it on the kind of the menu that will move forward to council to see if there's any, what the reaction to it is in your joint meeting.
So there was nothing that happened at city council level that maybe removed it from the last go around. I couldn't remember, that's why. Because I do remember Stuart bringing this up, I thought, a couple years ago or something.
I don't think there's anything precluding us from bringing items back up that maybe didn't make it on previous work plans.
How does everybody feel about having that added as one?
Well, maybe a strategy would be to go through the entire board, get your ideas, and then I could
read
them back to you, and you could take a vote on them. That's one strategy, or you could discuss them one at a time.
Chris, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, I'm fine with the list, and I don't know if these are any ranking order at this point.
They're unranked, and I thought that would be more appropriate for your discussion with city council.
Okay. Yeah, so the top one, the improved trash collection and public restroom, that just seems to be a constant item that we hear.
On the first page. John, do you have anything?
The one thing that pops up is council decided they're not bringing the financing of the street maintenance plan up until 2018. Is there, which election were they going to shoot for?
I think they were going to shoot for the November election.
So by this November, we should start having some, there should be some plans,
public information on that issue.
Yeah. And so I would think that if we're going to make any sort of progress at all on the streets, we need to start collecting the information to take to the public, say June. Mm-hmm. And that probably should go on there, is information collecting for street maintenance funding.
Okay, Rick, do you have anything?
I would like to see a comprehensive educational program developed dealing with garbage and recycling. As I mentioned, I attended that meeting that the Integrated Waste Management Board provided to the Senior Center, and there were a lot of people in the audience that had no idea, the right way to do things. And I think most people in town, there's lots of rumors, but there just isn't a good educational program on that. In the olden days, when there was competition for the recycling program back in the 90s, the part of the franchise agreement was that they would provide consistent educational program materials being sent out, and now it's sort of gone by the wayside, and it's just a matter of relying on the Integrated Waste Management Board to do anything, or that little section in your phone book, if you're still getting a phone book, people know what that is. So I would like to see that developed and discussed at the board and with staff sometime.
Okay. And for me, actually the one John brought up regarding that street improvement tax measure, that's number 3 on your goal-related work items, I think. Didn't that cover basically the same thing John was asking?
Yes.
Okay. So from that standpoint, it's already on the list, I think, unless... John, was there anything you were changing from that?
Well,
timing?
I mean, if you're going to be successful on that, I think it's going to be, you're going to have to, don't want to surprise anybody with that one.
No. And like I said, the details of these, I think, will be some of the discussion with city council during that meeting.
Okay. And for me, I'm happy with what you came up with, Rob. I think one of the biggest ones, and probably the biggest, I'm afraid, shock might be the first one, which is the new rate setting process for the WRF. Unfortunately, we just passed a rate increase here about 2 years ago, I think it was, or a year and a half.
No, it's about a year.
I guess I heard it 2 years ago, and by the time it got into play. But in either case, it is going to go up again with the movement from the Moro Valley down to the South Bay Boulevard site. They are seeing costs coming in excess of what they originally planned. Would that be the best indicator, Rob, of it? Or some of the treatment processes, maybe. But from a standpoint of cost to the city citizens, so to speak, that's probably going to be the single biggest one. I think we do need to, when I'm talking about priorities, I see once you get that new report, I'd like to see that come back to this board, because it's the kind that fills a room.
Yes.
When you put it out, and it may go more than one meeting, I don't know, but I kind of see that one as like the 500-pound gorilla in the room a little bit, as far as some of these things go.
And actually, that one will probably start in this fiscal year and extend on into next.
Oh, okay. And it is waiting for the actual report to be prepared.
Right.
So, but I see that as one that's very important on this one list going into it. And the street improvement tax measure, just so if not everybody's aware, it barely got defeated because it was one that required a 67% approval rating and voting, and it came in at like 65 or 66. It was somewhere very close. And it was countywide. And I think we talked about this before, that they'll probably be looking at something that'd be more of another local tax measure or something along those lines. And that is a very important one, too, because at the end of the day, it costs the citizens for these things to go through. I'm happy with what you have here, though, Rob. No need to add anything at this point.
So the additions that I heard were rock parking, surfacing, and access to the back state parks area, and how perhaps to accommodate that parking that may be lost.
Is that area around the back of the rock state, not city?
That's state.
Oh, okay. So if they're shutting it off, I don't think we have a whole lot of call for whether they open it or not, or is the harbor take care of shutting it or locking it?
It's a group decision. When it got locked on big days, that's when they used to close it.
Yeah.
Was if the swell caused a break over the breakwater, didn't really want a lot of people driving out there and climbing out onto the rocks, although sometimes you can't stop that from happening. People make decisions all the time that may not be the smartest thing in the world to do. It was a combination decision between our Harbor Patrol, the Coast Guard, and State Parks, whether to close that down or not. So
it's something we may not have total control over.
Exactly. But folks still tend to park right in front of the gate,
right,
out there, which I know we still need to have emergency access to that area.
Right.
The other item John brought up, and I think maybe modifying that, at least for discussion purposes with council, regarding timing on the when that discussion should take place over streets financing, sooner rather than later.
I got the impression the city council didn't really want to hear anything until 2018, and that might be a little
too late.
Yeah.
And then Rick's item about adding a comprehensive garbage and recycling education program for discussion at the board.
I got a question on one, Rob. The code enforcement item, it mentions related issues within the public right-of-ways. What sort of, is that like A-frames, or what sort of items is that?
The ones that we've heard about so far are, for example, like trailer tongues extending out into the, in somebody's boat or trailer, RV trailer parked in somebody's driveway, and the tongue extends out into the right of way. Other
topical items that have been discussed relating to code enforcement have been trash cans in the right-of-way, hedges that are over height.
How about a tree in the middle of the road?
Excuse me?
How about a tree in the middle of the
road?
Tree
in the middle of the road. I think every city has one.
No, hedges could be a problem at intersections and sight distance around corners.
On that same subject, I know when the code enforcement was being initiated and then it was pulled back and they were going to be reviewing some of the hot topic codes. Where is that in the process? Have they finalized rewriting some, or have they gone back to complaint-driven enforcement?
Not back to complaint-driven enforcement yet. Council wanted to hear back from code enforcement, and it's just making its way back onto the agenda. I think sometime later this spring we'll see that item on the agenda.
Has it been discussed at the Planning Commission? They're the ones that would be initiating some of the code changes.
I think,
right?
It was going to go back to council directly for direction and then to the various boards as needed.
Okay.
Do we want to take a voice vote on as a group, or do you want?
I'd like to make a comment first on Stu's request for the paving of the parking lot out there. I was on the Harbor Board back in the 80s and on the Destination 2000 Goals Committee in the 90s, and I'm sure it's been discussed many times in between. As you said, recently there was some talk on it. And the feeling, besides the fact that it's extremely expensive to pave the whole place out there, is that it would become more of a racetrack than it is right now, at least with some of the dips. Those are sort of natural speed calming
traffic
devices.
Calming.
Traffic calming. Also, some of the strong feelings were that keeps it the rustic flavor of the Morro Bay, as opposed to, pave the parking lot concept, and that we're just paving everything over. So those are some of the things over the decades that has sort of prevented that from happening, that they like it rustic, they like it rough. That adds to the character of Morro Bay.
Who likes it rustic?
Well, like I say, we'd had various public hearings over those periods of times, and when I happened to be on those two committees, the Harbor Board in the 80s and the Destination 2000, which was a goals committee, that was highlighted, and it was discussed quite a bit as to whether that should be a goal to accomplish, and the final determination was to keep it rustic. So anyway, I just wanted to add that in. I just don't want to go over this all over again.
Right. Yeah, and no, I hear what you're saying, Rick, and I can understand that perspective. But when you get out there, people are jumping over the rocks and jumping over the dippy-doos and the rest of that out there. It does cost us money to go out there and grade that off. Yeah. And do that before Easter. We seem to do that frequently and so on. And maybe we could scale it down, maybe have a section where if you want to go out there and park, maybe we have a little meter or something out there. I don't know. I'm just throwing some stuff out. But we could kick that around a little bit and see what the public would think about doing that. If we put an area out there where you go get your little ticket out of the machine and you get to park for half an hour for free or something like that, there should be a way to work that out so that you can use that area out there. You can park out there.
It gets a lot of use.
I was going to say, it does get its share of use. The thing I always concern myself with, Stuart, and I like the idea, yeah, it'd be nice to have a paved parking lot out there, but every time you add pavement down, you add the cost of maintenance over 50 years. and you have that coming in, and they could barely do the roads right now. I always hate to see more added to the plate sometimes when...
I agree with that, too.
Yeah.
But the question is, would people pay something for that? Well, pay 50 cents or a dollar or $2 and want to park out there? Maybe not. I don't know. You know, has that been explored recently?
There was a very similar parking lot down in Pismo for a while that right at the pier, you either would pay to park at the pier parking lot or you would squeeze right through, and where they're developing the hotel now, that was parking the dirt for free. That dirt lot was full and nobody would pay in the paid parking. They would just park in the dirt typically.
And now they're building a hotel there.
Correct.
To me, this is always one of those ones that's very, because in a perfect world, yeah, it does sound nice. I'm just not sure the money's there right now. We're talking about trying to pass a bond, or not a bond measure, but a measure to raise monies for the roads, and here we're looking to put more pavement in. That always concerns me a little bit. It does work. The cost of grading that lot, I doubt, is very much. I assume you get a motor grader out there on one day and knock it off and move on once a year or twice a year or whatever it is. Is that correct, Rob?
It's about, last year when we did it, it was about $8,500 to do that. Mm-hmm. That was with external, we had one of the contractors here that was doing other work. We added that to their scope. They had equipment here. When we do it, we don't use a motor grader. We use our skip and drag, which we can go in between years and do that. But when we have to add material to it, a motor grader is much more time and cost effective to do that work. City does not own a motor grader anymore. Okay. Nor do we have anybody that is experienced enough to operate a motor grader. It is a cost. It's not a huge cost to do that. It does, the parking lot needs, in my opinion, maybe it's not pavement out there. It needs some form of traffic control out there. It's a wild west, especially on a busy weekend. Not to belabor this point, but if somebody can explain to me, how do you get into the parking lot and how do you exit without kind of taking your life in your hand? With everybody makes their own route across that parking lot. I don't know of a, right off the top of my head, of a way to delineate that better than we have out there right now. And it really is only when it's busy. Early mornings when I go out there to get in the water, it's not an issue. Right. It's more on the busy weekends. It's up to this board to put it on the agenda, whether you want to talk with council about it, and then out of that council meeting would become the final work plan. So,
well, how do you guys feel about going ahead and putting it on as a agenda item?
I think there needs to be some structure out there, something, because like Rob just said, it's pandemonium
paved,
out there.
People
are spinning around out there doing those kinds of things. Amgen is going to come out there in what, a month, 6 weeks, and is that their final for the end of the run?
No, the race finishes on Harbor Street at about Napa. So it'll come into town through the state parks onto Main, drop down the Embarcadero on Marina, Embarcadero to Harbor, and then finish with that little uphill sprint that they'll have to Napa.
That cleared that up. But that definitely is a place. You know, Morro Bay is famous for Morro Rock, of course, how do we view Morro Rock without bumping into somebody or sliding around the parking lot out there and so on? There's got to be a way to structure some of that with maybe a curb or do something with it. I think we should talk about that anyway. Yeah.
Have we had any accidents out there ever?
I'm sure we have. I don't know what the data is. you see a rollover every once in a while out there. Or skid marks where the side of the car is and somebody's pushed their car back over and left before it's been discovered. I think that's usually in the donut phase of your exiting when that happens. But it's not a hot, there's really no high accident areas in Morro Bay. So I don't think it's an accident hotspot. It's just sometimes it can be difficult in knowing which way is the proper exiting of the rock parking lot.
No, the driveway is 400 feet wide.
Yes.
Is the point of the joint meeting, are they going to read through our list and dictate basically which ones we're doing, or is it
based on discussion with the board itself? Yeah. So
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to having something about it, maybe even just to deal with the entrance, because I mean, it could be something rock planter area breaking up to have an inlet and an outlet, just to have something simple like that. But whether that's something we need to discuss with them.
I think it might make sense. And it's your call, Stu, since you're the one who brought it up. But maybe take the paving out of the discussion of the item and more about traffic control out at the rock or something along those lines that might.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, too, because I go out there frequently, and it's bedlam out there sometimes. Right. People are zooming around and so on. If there was a designated, this is how you get out and this is how you get in, and so on, it would benefit.
Because I'm hearing kind of a mixture of people who want to see paving, don't want to see paving, but I think everybody's coming to the opinion that it is a little bit of a Wild West show on a busy weekend trying, you know, if they could somehow corral or create
maybe there is some delineation possible. Maybe you can take some lime and just mark lanes and things out occasionally.
During the special events, that's exactly what happens. The folks that hold the special events out there, they'll mark it with chalk, delineate lanes for the bigger events, like the Easter services out there. That'll all be or typically is delineated. I haven't seen the permit for this year, but
Well, I think even if you control the access, you know, in and out point, that tends to clean it up a little bit so that they just can't come out.
Maybe even a speed limit sign before you get into anything, the parking lot.
I know I've seen tour buses out there. I've seen some Chinese tour buses out there.
And
they park off to the side or they do this, or sometimes they'll go down and block the way to get out and so on. So there needs to be some semblance of order out there. Yeah.
I could support the part of putting it on the agenda for the purpose of traffic control or something along those lines. Do we want to take, we need to move, so what I'm thinking is, do we want to go ahead and take a quick voice vote on whether to add that to this item?
So it would be adding the three modifications.
Well, I was going to do one at a time
you
wanted to do it that way.
Sure.
Just do some quick voting on it. All in favor of adding this to the agenda? Or adding it to the work list?
What is it exactly?
Just traffic control
at the rock.
At the rock, I think.
But basically, you're looking for by consensus rather than a motion and a second.
I'll let somebody make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we add traffic control out by the rock, basically mainly dealing with the entrance of the rock, with the concept of trying to keep it something that's more of a natural style of traffic control.
Okay. Anybody second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Everybody but Stuart said yes. Did you say yes? Okay. It's unanimous. Okay. The second one was the timeline of John Irwin on the item that you had on.
Streets financing.
For the financing of the deal. Once again, a motion.
I vote that we add
a goal.
A goal or something. No, not a goal, but add
a work plan item.
Some wording to it, putting schedule into the discussion of street improvement tax measure.
Okay. A second?
A second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
That's unanimous. And the third one was Rick Deschler. I'm trying to remember.
The Comprehensive Garbage and Recycling Education Program.
And any questions before we try to put it to a vote?
Question I have is that we're going to have a document that we're going to put out to the public in general that says this is.
These are just goals right now that we're putting forth to the city council at that joint meeting. And then they're going to come back and say, yeah, take a look at it.
And there's a good possibility that the clause which required that education is still in the contract, so maybe some sort of discussion just to see what the options are.
Okay, if somebody can make a motion.
So moved that we add garbage recycling education to the work plan.
Okay. Second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Unanimous. Okay. I think that takes care of item B3. We'll move on to C, which I feel a little redundant after the work goal portion of it, of future agenda items. Was there anything anybody here seeing as potentials over and above what we've already covered? Actually, I feel like we've got a pretty full plate over the next year, especially with some of the different rates and fees and everything else going on. But
is there any idea what will be on the next regular meeting agenda at this time?
The probably the next one on the list will be the Memorial Bench Tree Rack Program combined with the Adopt a Street Park policy issues. One Water Planning will need to wait probably closer to the end of the year after we have the consultant on board. And that one will actually continue into the next fiscal year.
Right.
ADA compliance improvements, that's a possibility it could bring forward. We have the completed report now. And we may bring multiple items. The bike needs would be a fairly simple one to bring forward. Also, we have the list from the Citizens Bike Committee now.
Oh, we also would, I think, something about the street improvement plan or street maintenance plan is probably ought to be somewhere in that this year.
Okay, got that?
Oh, okay. There's no action taken on this. He's putting out the potential future items.
Exactly.
And so what you did, John's correct in the sense that you could be additive to it. It's not to take any away or anything like that. So does anybody else have anything that hadn't been brought up previously with the work goals of the city council? Okay. And then I guess item D is we move to adjournment. And so with that, this meeting is adjourned. See y'all next month. I don't remember the date. Do you remember the day of the next?
19th is the meeting.
19th.
April 19th, oh, but okay. We'll see you either the 11th or the
No, I was talking of the general meeting at the PWAB, so we'll adjourn to that meeting.
So we'll have both the council and the standard meeting then?
Yeah, we'll have two meetings next.
Oh. Okay.
No, I'll have four.
Depending on which committees you're on.